3-0, entity of 212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome once again to the Talking Sound Podcast, the only podcast on the internet where negative 10 is a number to be desired. Coming at you live from the throbbing heart of rock and roll that is Austin, Texas, I am Chris Jordan, your host, and today on the Talking Sound Podcast, we're actually going to have a listener answer day. We recently started a new app. It's right up in the top corner of the website, and it's a call us app. It's actually Google Voice. We have a Google Voice number for the podcast. And what this app does is it's an automated message from us that whenever you enter in your phone number and answer the CAPTCHA to assure the fact that it's a secure line, everything else, our automated message calls you and gives you the opportunity to ask us a technical question, be it a question about equipment, a question about the podcast, how we put the podcast together. We've had numerous people call us up and ask us, how do you start a podcast? How do you start a website? I love your web design. Where do you have it done? Things like that. That is what this show is all about, ladies and gentlemen. We do not hinder our knowledge from anyone. We give all of our knowledge away for free because most of the knowledge that we have here at this podcast, namely me, was given to me. Somebody gave it to me at no cost. It may have been at a cost of a little bit of effort. It may have been at a cost of me taking the effort to search it out. But at the same rate, I had to pay no money for it. It was given to me absolutely free. So the question that came to mind from one of the listeners was actually, how do we write all of this stuff? This new app that we have is great. It's given a lot of people a chance to comment, question. A lot of people are giving us testimonial. You know, we absolutely love what you're writing. This is great information. You know, stuff like that. This person actually wanted to know what our process was for writing. They want to write. They desperately want to write. The only problem is they seem to get distracted. All too common an issue. For years, I have not been able to write like lyric music. As much as I love lyric music, I have not been able to get into the place to be able to write my poetry, which is where my lyric music comes from. So for me, I'm having somewhat the same issue. However, they wanted to know, because they want to start writing blogs, things like that, what brings us inspiration? Quite honestly, you guys do. Three quarters of it comes from the questions and comments that I get from people, be it on the street, things like that, at shows that I'm working, someone will ask me a question. I'll be like, you know what? That deserves an entire episode, or that deserves an entire article. I write locally here in Austin for Rockstar Magazine, and most of those are tips and tricks articles, you know. And one of the last episodes that we had was actually based on one of those articles, the proper use of DI boxes, and why to use DI boxes whenever plugging in things like cell phones, tablets, PCs into a soundboard, and why you should have one. So back to the question at hand, how do we write? It starts with discipline. It really does. Believe it or not, it starts with good habits. I was a horrifying student. I am as ADD as you can get, man. I'm all over the place. You can ask my wife, you can ask anybody I've dated, you can ask any of my friends, people I've been in bands with, my family. I'm a harebrain. My brain will shoot from infrared to ultraviolet and everywhere in between, like that, just in a heartbeat. And to control that takes a lot of effort. I find it helps. One of the techniques that I was taught years ago by one of my English teachers was a skeleton. Literally sit down and write five things. Intro. Topic one, topic two, topic three, outro. That's your 5 points that you're going to hit. Where you're starting, where you're going, where you're going to finish. Have that in line first. Beyond that, it really, like I said, comes down to habits. Take a look around you. I am big time on the muse. The old concept of the muse. She is somebody that exists. She's real, and she comes to us when we invite her. But the thing is, we have to invite her. We have to make room for her. Back in the days of ancient Greece and Rome, they had a place on their hearth for the muse to come. They had a special place for that, and for that alone. And I know it's hard in this day and age. It's hard to A, reserve the time, B, reserve the space. Most of us, even myself, I am an apartment dweller, and I have a very understanding wife who sees my passions and see how much I feed them and just keep feeding them and feeding them and feeding them. And she lets me have my space. The entire second room in our apartment is a fully functional AV studio, is a pedal mod space with a fully functional workbench. It's also where I do all of my web design. You know, if it wasn't for the fact that I was married, I would probably sleep in there, ladies and gentlemen, so I could get even more work done. That's how much I love it. For me, it's not work. It's passion. It's what I love. So you really do have to dedicate a space to that. And what I mean by that, you know, you don't have to have an entire room. But if your space is a desk, make that desk clean. Make it a clean surface where it's not distracting, where you don't have 28 different things lay. You know, you can have a tchotchke or two. You know, I always have a crystal right there just as a little grounding for myself, little piece of nature. I love crystals and rocks and minerals. So every one of my workspaces, even here in the studio, I have some amethyst sitting right in front of me on my computer. It's always here. It's always there. It's a part of every environment that I'm in. Even whenever I'm working at shows, I have a small crystal that sits on top of my workstation because it makes it mine. And once I make that space mine, I own it. I control it. And that's what you have to do. You literally, it's a gear switch, and it's a way to mentally switch gears and let yourself know, when I sit in this space, this gets done, and only this. Whenever I sit here, I sit here with purpose. I'm not going to sit here and philander around and play around on the internet. You know, get your research done beforehand, quite honestly. If it's a situation where, you know, you have to look at where you have to literally get away from the internet in order to write, disconnect the internet from that computer. Don't allow the internet on it. Only make that computer for writing. Make that space purpose built. My workspace at home, if I turn to the left, it's completely for editing. If I turn to the right, it is completely for web design and research. So it's of the utmost importance that you learn to focus your brain and learn the way your brain works. My brain cannot work with distraction. If it has things willy-nilly all over the place and junk, one of my favorite phrases is, a studio is a battle for horizontal space. It is. It is literally the fact that that stuff is a distraction. It's there, and it's going to occupy your brain. It's going to occupy your mind. It's going to occupy your time instead of what you're going to be doing. It even becomes a point where you're like, hey, you know, how about I clean my space? And then by the time you've spent an hour cleaning your space, you no longer have the energy. You no longer have the purpose of mind to write. So you really do have to keep up on those things. Set the time aside. I've had to get to the point where, even with this podcast, there is one day a week where I sit down and I do work on the website. There is one day a week where I sit down and I record. There is one day a week where I sit down and I edit. You know? And it has to happen. You have to schedule the time in. If you don't schedule the time, it really and truly shows your brain the importance that you're giving it and the credence that you're giving it. Put it on a schedule. I have calendars all over my house. I have one on my refrigerator. I have one on my front door. I have two in my studio. I have one on my phone that is my Google calendar that populates to all my computers, to all my tablets, everything. Be obsessive about that. Set reminders. Don't forget tomorrow you have to read. You know, don't forget tomorrow's a research day for your next topic. You literally do have to discipline yourself the same way that they discipline students in school. You have to get to the point where you are interested actively in talking about what you're wanting to write. So there's two of the biggest things right there. Make a space for it. Make that space dedicated for that reason alone. And on top of that, make time for it. Once you make time for it, it becomes an obligation. Once it's on a schedule, you cannot avoid it. It's kind of like taxes, man. Taxes happen April 15th every year. You can't avoid them. That's where they are. That's where it sits. So you got to have it done. You know exactly when it is, just like your birthday. You know when it's coming up. So you really do have to set yourself reminders, make sure that that kind of stuff is going on. And, keep in mind the fact that everybody gets blocked. It's what you do with that block. Just because you're blocked, don't sit around and be blah. Use that time wisely. Use that time to think of about 8 or 9 different topics. Whenever you think of topics, think about them in a laser fashion, not in a shotgun fashion for articles. Try to keep your articles as brief as possible. Most people nowadays especially have a 5 to 10 minute attention span max, which means 2 pages. You don't have to write a tome. If you want to write ebooks, but you don't really have to write a whole lot. The main thing is that the content be good. In addition to that, be genuine, be true to yourself. Nobody wants to read a faker. Nobody wants to read something that somebody's just making up. Make sure that what you're writing is something that you believe in, something that you have passion about. Just like if you're not passionate on stage, it translates through a microphone. If you're not passionate with what you're writing about, it translates. But make sure that your voice is your own, that it's yourself. If you're a quippy, funny person, write quippy, funny things, throw them in there, Make sure that your voice is your own, because that is where people will recognize you, and it will literally be to where people will recognize you whether your name is on the article or not. They'll be like, oh man, is this that dude? Just like I was saying in one of the last episodes about how I can spot a Rush song on the radio because it is stylized. They have a stylization to them that no other band has, and I can recognize those styles immediately. It's the same way with reading styles. Stephen King has a certain way that his characters come off the page. Everybody is like that. And to find your own voice is invaluable. And literally what that takes is writing. Writing. Sit down and write. The more you can write, the better off you are. Write multiple styles, multiple genres, multiple topics. Try not to keep your topics the same. Try to keep them as varied as possible. These are just some of the tips and tricks that I follow to assure the fact that what I'm writing is somewhat fresh, what I'm covering is somewhat fresh. It can get very hard, to go through and come up with these topics. Sometimes I literally sit around whenever I'm at shows with other techs, and I ask them questions, hey, if you were to read an article about this, what would you want to read about? Like, literally, ask your audience what they want to hear about. You'd be surprised. Number one, most of the time, they aren't asked their opinion. It's given to them through their writer. Secondly, they love to be involved with what they're reading or what they're listening to. They really do. It means that their opinion gives credence, that they also have a place in the creative process, not just as a part of the end result. So those things are hugely important. to involve your readers, to make them feel involved. So when it comes to design, make sure that it's something that's catchy. The main thing with images, make sure they are high quality. I cannot stress that enough. Once again, with your images, I'm going to say it slowly and clearly. With the images you include in articles or on a website, make sure that they are clear. Make sure that they're high quality images. The brain is visually stimulated, folks. And if you start off your blog, if you start off your career with writing with poor quality images, people will literally move on. It does not matter how good the content is. It doesn't matter how good the writing is, how good the topic is, how good the guest is. If it is bad quality of images, people will move on. That's just it. Your images have to be impactful. They have to be cogent to what you're talking about. And they have to be good quality. You know, you can't be putting up things that are, 72 DPI, that are fuzzy. It's got to be good, crisp images that are of high quality. I can't stress that enough. I see that more and more often with web design where, you know, I ask people for logos, things like that, and they get to me and it's like, wow, that's great that your nephew gave you a free logo. It is in the worst quality possible and I cannot enlarge it. I can't make it the size of the page. I can't put it on a page or on a brochure without it printing out poorly. And that's the last thing that you want, is for your product to be coming out, for it not to resonate with the quality that's in the article. You want your qualities to match. So if you're putting out quality material, put out quality material all around. There are numerous places that you can go online and purchase rights for commercial free pictures. Myself, I literally went out to a pawn shop, bought myself a 10 megapixel camera with a replaceable lens by Canon, a T2i, and that's what I take all my web photography with. You know, it's really all about the glass. As long as you have good glass on your camera, you're going to get a great picture. But that's another key to writing, believe it or not, is making sure that you are activating all of your readers' brains. You know, your brain is activated in different sections, and visual, tactile, auditory, they're all different means by which people learn. So whenever you're writing, especially technical articles, things like that, you have to make sure to include diagrams. You have to make sure to include pictures, step-by-steps, and all of that stuff requires good quality. So make sure to keep up with that. In addition to that, make sure that if you're sourcing articles, that you have permission to source articles. You know, I've had people tell me that I'm not allowed to post their articles. I always ask permission first, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I understand that. My site is really similar to, I guess, a Drudge Report, but for tech. It's really like a conglomerate site for a bunch of technology stuff that's going on in the industry, plus my tips and tricks that I write. On that note, I also write a lot of other stuff. So it's finding your audience, finding your voice, and the combination of the two. You know, if you're trying to write stuff about straight razor shaving, you probably don't want to include a whole bunch of stuff about videography on your website. So try to keep things within the same vein, if possible, at least topically, for whoever your audience is. You know, if you're writing for different websites, keep it focused for that kind of stuff. You know, whenever I write for Rockstar Magazine here locally, I make sure that everything that I'm writing is either based around music, live music, recording, some sort of tip or trick for a local musician, be it booking shows, you know, maintaining shows, showing up, you know, how to maintain gear, things like that. You know, I gear what I'm writing for that audience more toward the independent musician. or the independent band, because that's a lot of what they are covering is local independent acts. So that's what I base it toward. Whenever I'm writing or coming up with topics for the Talking Sound podcast, I tend to go with a little bit larger reach, a little bit larger audience in mind, and cover things a little bit broader. Like I said in a couple episodes ago, you know, talking about taking care of past due gig payments, you know, how to take care of that. That's been one of my most popular episodes, and oddly enough, from people that aren't even musicians that ran across this, that were friends of mine on Facebook, that were like, oh my God, what a great episode. Everybody should be covering this. Because yeah, who hadn't dealt with that situation? So really trying to figure out your voice, how often you need to write, what topics you need to write about, setting yourself up a space and a time to dedicate to that purposefully. These are the tips that I have for those of you who are trying to write, those of you who are trying to start up a blog, a podcast. Focus, focus, focus. Make sure that things are ready before you launch them. Don't ever launch prematurely, no matter what your excitement level is. Make sure that the groundwork is laid before you start getting out there, because once you're out there, it's hard to go back and change things, because people don't understand it. People don't realize that you've changed, and you can lose audience. So on that note, everybody, thank you so much for your questions, for your comments that you've been sending to us online. Please continue to do so on our guest response or visitor response widget in the top right-hand corner of the website, www.talkingsoundshow.com. There you can find all of the articles, all the videos, all of the interviews with local artists, engineers, musicians, all kinds of stuff. You can also find us on Patreon, www.patreon.com/talkingsound. There you can give to the cause. We've had so many people give already who have helped us upgrade to HD video packages. We thank you so much, Patreon, for everything that you do for us independent artists, bloggers, podcasters, and for all of you listening. Thank you so much for everything. Thank you so much for your time, your energy, your effort in letting us know what you think. And please, everybody, keep listening. And while you do that, keep reaching for 11. Thank you so much. Take care. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Sound.